And we're going to continue in Acts, as Pastor Bruce has led us over the past few weeks, where we're learning lessons from the early church. And we're going to begin in Acts 10, verse 23b to 48. And we're going to focus on Christians were ambassadors in a dying world. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." And while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people, and he said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" And Cornelius answered, "Three days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely, no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I don't know if you're a news junkie. I am. And I found it very interesting that in the news in the last couple of months, there was a story about a Chinese lady. She was the chief financial officer of a telecommunications firm in China. Huawei, is that how you say that? That, yeah. And the United States says that that company is, you know, acting inappropriately, illegally. So when that lady landed at an airport in British Columbia, the United States said, "Arrest her on our behalf." And because of treaties, Canada did, and it's become a big international incident that poor little Canada is stuck in the middle. It's a very interesting story. Now, Canada has an ambassador, a Canadian gentleman who works in China on behalf of Canada, and he serves Canada in that place. What he does is he is the representative of Canada. The government appointed him, and he went there so that he could be the face of Canada to China, so that he could explain to the Chinese what Canada is all about, so that maybe that when Canadians come to China, he can assist them and they can have a good time when they're in that foreign land. And things were going pretty well. But then you know what that ambassador did? The silly man said things that contradicted the government's position. And he said, I don't think that they should have arrested that lady. I don't think there's a case against her. And, oh boy, talk about putting your foot in it. He really mucked things up. And as a result, that man was fired as an ambassador because he was not faithfully representing the nation or the ones that sent him. That was an important lesson, and I'm sure he rues the day he opened his big mouth and spoke unwisely. What people look for in ambassadors is that they are wise people. To represent a country or to represent the leaders of a country, it requires a lot of wisdom. You have to be able to be a communicator, someone that can explain these complex things that are foreign, but you say, I'm going to help you understand the perspective and the values and the reason that my country is acting the way it is. And you need to be a fit representative. And as I was saying to the kids before they went to Sunday school, that the ambassador has to represent that which is the best of the country that he or she is from. The point that we see, one of the points, there's lots of things to notice in this beautiful, rich passage in Acts chapter 10, is that the early Christians were called to be ambassadors. That they were ambassadors sent by God. In the name of Jesus Christ, they were to go into the world and they were to represent Jesus Christ. And they were to explain to a world that was dying that there was life available to them through Jesus. And they were to be living examples of someone fully committed and fully in tune with the Lord. What we see is that the early church had a great privilege. And they were doing a good job of it, because we see that the church grew rapidly and had great impact and effectiveness. But we also see in this passage that those who were to be the ambassadors of Christ had to have some training. They needed to be conformed to the image of the Son so that they could be that effective witness, that bringer of good news to their dying world. And that is true of Peter, we see in this passage. Peter was a man who grew up, it is very clear from Scripture, in a pretty conservative and traditional Jewish home. He was a follower of the law. He was one who obeyed the traditions of the Jewish faith community. They talked about the Word, and they loved the Torah, and they looked at the laws and the examples and the teachings that were contained within it. But they didn't get everything right. One of the things that you see from our perspective now in 2019, having seen the way the history of redemption has unrolled, is we now see that when we look at the Old Testament, that the Jewish community was put in place so that it could be a blessing to the nations. They were meant to be a missionary community that allowed people to come in, that when they came in, they would explain to them and that they would know the God who was the Creator, who had revealed Himself through the prophets and had given the law and the writings. But over the centuries, the Jewish community had come to a point where they didn't understand that anymore. They said, no, we are here so that we can present ourselves as a single community that is separated from the world. And that was tremendously unfortunate, because the truth that they had wasn't disseminated the way that the Lord wanted to. The Old Testament is full of these beautiful teachings about aliens and foreigners in your midst, and then you take them. That when you celebrate the Passover, for example, any foreigner or alien who is in your house is to participate in this feast with you. And there are tremendous teachings about grace to the stranger that are contained in that passage. But Peter was of the opinion, because it had become his tradition, that you should stay away from anyone who was different. That you should have nothing to do with Gentiles. That people that were not of the community of faith that you belonged in were outsiders and to be kept away. Well, Peter was given this gift of a vision. And the vision was that he was standing there, and then a sheet came down. And on the sheet were all kinds of animals. But they were the animals that the Old Testament law said was not allowed to be eaten by God's people. So there were pigs on it, and there were, I think, lobsters, and all kinds of creatures that were forbidden, that were not kosher. And God said to Peter, take these animals and eat. And he said, I can't do that. They're not kosher. It's not my tradition. It's not how I understand your will for me. And he said, take and eat. Because, he said, now there is nothing that is unclean. And there are no people who are unclean. There are no people who are forbidden from drawing close to me because of their history, because of their ethnicity, because of their language. All are made in my image. And all are welcome to hear the gospel, and we pray that people respond positively to it and be transformed by it. Do not call anybody that I made unclean. That was a revelation to him. It was a correction. And he heard that. And he allowed the Word of God to change his heart so that he would indeed look differently at people. And just as he finished this dream, there came a knock on the door. There was an invitation from this Cornelius, this Roman Gentile. Say, please come, I have questions. And I know that you have answers for me. Peter needed to be transformed and overcome the blinders that he had on that did not allow him to see others as image bearers of God with beauty. And so he took that message, and he accepted that word and was open to that. I loved when Peter was reading that passage, and Peter, you read that so well, because there was a tone of kindness in your voice as you spoke Peter's words of grace, and even words of reconciliation. So to be an ambassador, you have to understand God's perspective on people, but you also, more broadly speaking, have to make sure that you don't have in your mind or in your heart understandings of the tradition that keep you from being someone who can speak a word of grace to others. Now then there's Cornelius. Cornelius was one who was becoming an ambassador. When the Spirit prompted him to reach out to Peter, that was for his training, for his preparation. And it was interesting, right at the very beginning of the passage, where Peter comes into the room, what does Cornelius do? He sees him and he falls at his feet in reverence. In the Roman pagan way of thinking, that people could be the living personifications of the gods. And therefore, that you would fall, you would worship the people that you believed were indeed filled with the divine. And some of the other adventures of the apostles that's recorded in Acts shows that. They're in a place and they're healing people and they're speaking powerfully. And people say, okay, let's start building an altar to worship these men. And they say, no, don't do that. I'm just a guy. I'm a servant of God. I'm an ambassador. I'm representing the Lord. I am a servant of God, but I am not God. And Cornelius needed to be transformed in his understanding that we are all the servants of God. That we need to listen to the message that comes from the servants of God. But we should not worship them. We needed to understand that the only one that we worship is God Himself. Having learned that lesson, Cornelius was in a much better position to be a leader in his community, having come to know Jesus and lead them on to peace with God. The fact is that we are all in God's presence. That God was there in that room when Peter was speaking with Cornelius and when Peter was talking to the large amount of people that had been summoned and that came to hear. And we see that in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that those who came, even though they were outside of the old tradition, even though they were still in the process of understanding all these things, that God came to them and God blessed them with His presence and even filled them with His Holy Spirit. The world is a dying place. We talk about sin and it's our tradition, it's a good tradition, that we confess our sins, that we do not allow ourselves to be conceited by thinking that we are so good that we don't need to stand humbly before God, but instead to say we know that we are a broken people who need the healing of God. We know that we struggle with bad attitudes. We know that we struggle with falling into temptation, that we do not do the things that God wants us to do. But we know that God is indeed a forgiving God who does not hold these things against us, but shows us His grace new again every morning. We live in a world that doesn't understand that. That does not understand that sin is a reality. We we don't hear much about sin in outside of the faith community. There's mistakes or there's choices. And people say, oh, one choice is as good as another. As long as it feels good to you and it doesn't really damage anyone else, then it's up to you. And we say, no, there is damage that happens to all of us if we live and act in ways that are not in accordance with the will of God. And so we call people to know God, to hear God, to understand God, to obey Him, and to find their way out from death into life. If we are not faithful, if we are not obedient, then how will people know what the will of God is? If we do not speak the words that God has given, if we don't represent Him as His ambassadors, how will people know that they shouldn't be worshiping others? Don't you think that when we see the celebrity pages and the fawning admiration that's given to people just because they're good actors or good singers or they got their right shape is awful? Say, don't these people aren't gods. We should respect them. We should even admire them for their skill. But heaven, let us not worship them. It's a big difference. And let us not be people who remain in our prejudices, who put people in different boxes and say that box does not fit into our structure, when in fact God has said all are made in My image and all are worthy of hearing the truth. And then it's for us to pray that the Lord's Holy Spirit will transform people's hearts, that they can accept that truth and find their way to joy and peace. We are called to be ambassadors, not just on Sunday mornings, not just in this place. We are called to be ambassadors in every place where we find ourselves. In your work, you are an ambassador of Christ. In your school, you are an ambassador of Christ. When you're at the gym, when you're at the mall, when you're at your club, whatever, every place we go, we are called to be an ambassador. To show by our actions or by our words when it's appropriate, to say we are people who stand as the representatives of Christ in the world. And it should be evident. It should be evident to all that we are people who serve a living Lord, and we indeed are transformed by our God. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up and think about this, about our calling to be ambassadors. It's not easy. That Canadian ambassador to China, you know, he had a lapse, and it cost him his ambassadorship. We have lapses, but the Lord is more gracious than the Canadian government. The Lord says, "You remain My ambassador." He corrects us so that we indeed may be obedient to Him. I'd like to have us pray, and we're going to pray with a song. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. This is our prayer. So as we sing, let's remain seated, and you can look at the words. And as I was saying to someone this morning, in the early church, they didn't fold their hands and close their eyes when they prayed. They actually lifted their hands up and looked up to heaven. So if you want to open your hands and look up to the screen, and through the screen, let's say we're going to see heaven too, and speak these words of prayer to our God.